So today, January 13th, we start our new sermon emphasis, our worship emphasis for this year, what the Bible really says about at the end of your pews are worship guides. And I want to invite you to be sure that every one of you gets one. Reach at the end of your pews right now, and this is not one per couple. This is you each get one. And it's probably a good idea. So the worship guides, pass them down so everybody gets them. Okay, they're at the end of the pews. Be sure everybody gets one. You want to put your name on it, right? I put my name on here. This is my good teacher voice. Okay, how you doing? Who needs a worship guide? Okay, here they... Is there enough in the pews? They pass them from the pews, the end of the pews, all the way down so everybody gets a worship guide. Now, the idea is that this goes all the way through the whole year. Stick it in your pocket, your purse, your briefcase. Bring it to worship each week. So you know now what the theme is going to be for every Sunday between now and the end of the year. Now, we've only done the scriptures through July, so there'll be an update after that with the scriptures. But you can see, if you open the worship guide, there's a little introduction from me, then a couple of possible resources for you in terms of getting Bibles, because this year's theme is what the Bible really says about. So some ideas for electronic Bibles, and some ways that you can get paper Bibles. And then if you turn to the first page, you see our notes for today. How the Bible came to be. That's what we're talking about today. So you've got a place to take notes every Sunday during worship. So what are you going to do with your worship guide? You're going to bring this with you. Bring it with you. Because you're not going to get a new one every week, okay? You're going to bring it with you. And it gives some of you love to take notes. Others of you just want to know what the theme is. So now you've got a resource to be able to guide you in the themes that we're talking about throughout this year. Today's scriptures introduce the series. So we already heard the passage from Genesis at the very beginning of scripture when God creates. In just a moment, we're going to hear a passage from the book of John. In the beginning was the Word. So it's another story of creation of God's beginnings. And then in a few more minutes, we're going to hear a passage from Revelation chapter 21, where God says in a wild vision, "Behold, I am making all things new." The Bible bookended by God's stories of creation, of making things new, of bringing life. And then in just a few minutes, I'm going to share a message about that. So we're going to begin with that passage from John. You good? Everybody got a worship guide? You ready to go? What the Bible really says about.
I'm reading from the Gospel according to John in the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And now a reading from the Revelation of John. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So much gratitude to the celebration singers. They are down about 6 or 7 singers who are coping with the crud, you know? So many, many thanks. And many thanks to Sally Ann Wasmuth for putting together the worship guide. What a great little piece that's going to guide us. You can say thanks to both of them. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of this day. Open our hearts to hear your word in new ways. Amen. So pick up and hold a Bible. Those are those red things in the pew racks right in front of you. If you don't have enough Bibles, you could also pick up a hymnal. Because in your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn to page 571. 571. About in the middle of the Bible, the Psalms are in the middle of the Bible. Now, if there's not enough Bibles and you're picking up a hymnal, you can turn to page 844. It's the same psalm. So if you have a hymnal, turn to 844. You with me? Everybody got it? You don't even have to read it out loud. We're just going to hold it. We're going to hold Scripture for just a few minutes. Pick up and hold Scripture. The Psalms are about in the middle of the Bible. This, friends, is the book of our faith. There's the Jewish Scriptures, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the story of Christian faith. Just hold it for a minute. Now, I know that some of you hold Scripture every day, and it could be that this is the first time in a long time that some of you have held Scripture in your hand, and that's okay, because now you're holding it in your hand. The book of our faith. Hold it for a moment and think about that. The book of our Christian faith. You see, we don't worship the Bible. We let it form us and teach us and comfort us and strengthen us and challenge us. God breathes and says, "I want to be with you." Now we read together Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore, holding Scripture in your hand. You know, besides the psalm that we just read, we also just read 3 passages, central passages of Scripture about God bringing life. Here's what's in the Bible overall. The Bible is the story of God's saving work. God created humans fell away. You remember those Genesis stories, right? God gave a place to live and work and said, all you need to do is follow me, worship only me. And humans fell away from God, and God delivered us. Humans failed to care for one another and worshiped other gods, and God sent prophets and others to lead us back and to deliver us to God again. Kings failed to lead, and God sent prophets. Finally, God sent himself, Jesus, to show us God's way of love, to show us and save us and deliver us back to God. Some people followed him, but others crucified him. You know, but with God, death and resurrection, death and suffering are never the final word. Being away from God is never the final word. Jesus was alive again, and the church was born. And as people continued to fall away, God looked for us and delivered us from slavery to sin and death and gave us new life and gives us new life in countless ways. Here we are today because of God's great commitment to mercy and to life. You think life and breath and living just happens? No. God wants to be with us, to be close to us, to be through us and in us, bringing us life. And that's the story of the Bible. From beginning to end, God giving life to all creation, us ignoring that, and God seeking us until we are willing to be found. Because God wants to be with us. This is the story of the Bible. And it becomes our compass. You know what a compass is? Pointing true north. Our plumb line. Our guide for life. Now, we know a little bit about what I'm talking about from our own lives. Because when we long to be with someone or with a group, we know that they breathe life into us, right? Some of you can't wait. I can't wait to be here in worship on Sunday mornings because we breathe in God's life. God is that and 10,000 times more and wants that relationship, that togetherness with us. We resist it. We call that sin. And yet God keeps seeking us. God keeps seeking us and comes to us through this living, breathing book we call the Bible. Not just through the Bible, but definitely God comes to us through our reading and our taking in the Bible. God is with us. Well, what's in the Bible specifically? What's in it specifically are stories of beginnings, history, psalms of comfort and challenge, the words of the prophets to inspire and challenge, more history, gospels, the good news of Jesus, and the beginnings of the church and the spread of Christian faith, letters and writings to inform, strengthen and inspire our faith, and a final word of darkness and light and death and life in the book of Revelation. 66 books in our one book, 39 in the Old Testament, originally mostly in Hebrew, and 27 in the New Testament, originally mostly in Greek. When does the Bible come to be and how, you ask? Well, here's the time frame. The Old Testament stories are told orally, told around a campfire, or in homes, or schools, or kitchens, or palaces for hundreds of years. Surely some are written down, but the Old Testament as we know it is not compiled until about 400 years before Jesus. After the Hebrew people returned from exile in Babylon, the priests and others look at each other and they say, hey, we better write that stuff down. We better write down the story of our faith. We better put it all together so that people can have a book. And the oldest copies that we have of the Old Testament books are some of the Dead Sea Scrolls, a major find of the 20th century. Now, the New Testament is written in a shorter time frame, about 70 years from the death of Jesus, until about 100. Surely the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, are told and retold until four Gospel writers write them down somewhere between 70 and 90 AD, some 40 to 60 years after Jesus. But even before the Gospels are written down, the Apostle Paul, remember him, who was saved and claimed by Jesus, around 40 or so, he writes letters to the churches in the Mediterranean. Some churches are churches he has founded, and others he just wrote to. The last of the New Testament books are probably written down around 100 or so, mostly in Greek, because it's a Greek-speaking world by then, Alexander the Great and all that. And there is nothing of the New Testament in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But the Bible as we know it, 66 books, is not canonized. These are the books that are going to be in our Christian Bible. Until more than 200 years after the last book is written, there remains a lot of debate throughout that time among church leaders about what to include and leave out until it's canonized around 300 AD. And then there's a big question. What's it meant to do or be for us, this Bible? I go back again to God longing to be with us, creating us, forming us, hanging with us through all the times and seasons of life, breathing life and hope into us, for us supremely in Jesus, who actually came to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. It is not meant to be taken word for word literally. It was given to us for what it means and meant. It was and is meant to form us as people of faith, to comfort and strengthen us, to challenge us to be more loving and more just, to draw us near to the God who loves us, to lead us on the path to life. Life now and life eternal. We see this in the passages we read today. In Genesis, God created all that is and is still creating. In the Gospel of John, the Word Jesus was always with God and still is, and in between came to hang with us and bring life. And in the book of Revelation, God is always doing a new thing among and beyond us. Think of all the other passages that are in and around these beginning, middle, and end ones that we read today. Sometimes confusing. Sometimes challenging. And we must dig to the heart of them to find the meaning for then and for now. Let it breathe into you the breath of life, this scripture that you are holding. Relationship with God, oneness with the Creator, guidance for life. You see, our goal this year is to draw closer to the God who loves us through Scripture. I grew up in a very, very strict Lutheran tradition. Some of you have heard me talk about this. And the word that we heard from Scripture, the way it was interpreted to us, was that we were so bad, so sinful, so wrong, that we needed to spend our lives trying to make up for that, trying to catch up to God. And as I grew, I came to have this sense that there was something very, very wrong with me, that I couldn't catch up to God. I couldn't be good enough. And what it was not that I was wrong, but that eventually I was away from God. I was away from God because there was nothing I could do according to that way of thinking to make up and to be good enough to be connected to God. But it hit me. It hit me on an Emmaus walk. That everything ought to be designed to draw us closer to the Creator, to the life giver. I was on an Emmaus walk many years ago during an extremely difficult time in my life, toward the end of seminary, physically and spiritually. I don't even like to think about that time. Such a difficult time, questioning my call and where God wanted me to go. And I took the risk to go on this Emmaus walk, and I sat on the second night of this 3-day spiritual retreat, and the words were read from Isaiah chapter 43, I have called you by name, and you are mine. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. The fire will never overcome you, because you are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. And that is the message that Scripture is meant to convey. I know that sometimes reading and studying the Bible can be confusing, and we need good guides. We need preachers and teachers and books to help us. And that's what we're going to try to do this year. Guide you toward God, toward life. The Bible has been terribly misused, and we'll confront that too this year. Remember, we start here with God's words. I want you to know me. God's words. I want you to know me. Let me be with you. Stop pushing me away. Stay as your beautiful created self, what I intended. Let me love you, guide you, comfort and challenge and strengthen you. Stop pushing me away because you're angry or afraid. Read the stories that I have given you. Let them wash over you. Breathe into you the very breath of life. And then we can help others know God too. Remember that the Bible is bookended with stories of life and God's longing to be with us. Genesis and the creation of all that is. And the end, from the book of Revelation, God's vision of new life. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And the one who is seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Thanks be to God. Amen.